State Senator Bruce Caswell joins us on the line to give us kind of a preview of some things happening in Lansing over the next couple of weeks, somewhat in regards to some of the bills that you've got working in Lansing. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, Ken. How are you?
Good. One involving unemployment here in the state of Michigan. Tell us about that a little bit.
Yeah, it seems like I've been handling a lot of unemployment bills, which is good, but we had a situation happen over in Lenawee County where a gentleman was working part-time for one city and part-time for another city, and he got laid off by the first city. And so he was eligible to draw unemployment because he got laid off. And what he was making at the other city allowed him to draw a portion of what he'd normally get. But the interesting thing was, is the way the law was written, the second city, whom he was still working for, had to pay a portion of his unemployment insurance. And they pointed out that they didn't really think that was right since they hadn't laid him off. So as we looked into it, like everything with unemployment, it's extremely complicated. But I think we've got it figured out now how we can rewrite the law. We have to get approval of the feds as well. But I think we've got it figured out how we can rewrite it and not do any damage to private businesses. They enter into this, too, because of the way everything is set up. So we're trying to get that taken care of so that if you're laid off from City A but still working for City B, City B won't have to pay part of your unemployment. So, I could spend the next hour explaining it to you, but I don't want to put all your listeners to sleep.
There you go. We're just waking up here this morning. Another thing you've been involved with for a while, the debate over the driver responsibility fees, and what's the next step on this for you?
Well, we've been working quite hard with the Secretary of State's office up in Lansing. They'd like to see we got rid of four driver responsibility fees last October 1st. And for those four fees, people who already owe it, we're trying to figure out a way that we can have them work off their costs as opposed to paying it off. And we've been working with the Secretary of State's office and the Department of Treasury to figure out a way of doing it that'll be efficient, but still allow people to get out from underneath that burden for those four particular driver responsibility fees. And I think we're getting pretty close with that. We've come up with some good ideas on how we can do it, working through the Secretary of State's local offices. And so we're pursuing that. And Ruth Johnson's been really good to work with in this regard. It's not as easy as it sounds because there's a lot of paperwork involved, but she's been really good about wanting to help people out in this regard.
When the whole driver responsibility fees were put on the books to start with, sounded like a good idea at the time, but obviously we found out that it wasn't necessarily a great workable plan.
Well, Ken, I'll have to correct you on one thing. I didn't vote for it originally. I didn't think it was a good idea then, and I still don't think it's a good idea. You know, to me, at the time, it was just like double jeopardy. Let's say Bruce Caswell goes out and gets a bunch of points on his record. Every time I'm stopped, I get a ticket. I've got to pay a fine. The way this responsibility fee works is that after I've paid that ticket, paid that fine, then I got to turn around and pay another fine to the Secretary of State's office. So it's a fine on top of a fine. And I didn't feel that was right in the first place. I mean, if we don't think the original fine, my ticket, is enough money, well, then charge more for it. But don't charge me for that and then turn around and charge me for something else. And that's what's been going on. And I just don't think that's fundamentally right.
Okay. Looking at agriculture, there's a study to be mounted on that, and you're looking at what should be included in that.
Yeah. Every year, in every local unit of government, there is an agricultural sales study done. There's also a residential sales study and commercial and industrial. And the sales, when property sells, that is used in this sales study to determine what's going to happen to the value of other properties within that jurisdiction. So in other words, if we have four parcels that sell in Kinderhook Township, agricultural parcels, and they sell in total for 5% more than what they're assessed at, then that is used as an indication that all agricultural properties in that township should be raised 5% the following year. Now, that's a very simplified version, but that's the essence of it. So the key to all of this is what sales are put into the sales study and which ones are not put into the sales study. And I had a bill back in the middle of the last decade that said this: for agricultural properties, if you go out and Ken Delaney goes out and purchases an 80-acre farm, and you fill out a form that says you're going to keep it in farming, then the property does not get uncapped. In other words, the taxable value does not jump up to the SEV. Okay, all I proposed in my previous bill was to say, if you fill that form out to keep it from getting uncapped, then that property can be used in the sales study because you're indicating that you're going to keep it in ag, therefore it's an ag sale, a legitimate ag sale. But let's say that you go out and buy 80 acres out by your radio station, and you do not fill that form out because your intent is to develop that property and sell it off to an industrial firm coming out of Chicago. Because you did not fill that form out, then that property would not be used in the sales study and thus would not affect other agricultural values because you're not going to be using it for ag. Okay. You're going to be using it for some other use. So that passed overwhelmingly in the House and the Senate, and Governor Granholm vetoed it. So I've resurrected that bill. I've got Treasury on board with it, and we're going to see if we can get it through the process this fall and get it put in place for next year. And it will help eliminate, you know, if somebody comes in to buy a property, Ken, an 80-acre property, and they're going to use it for some other reason than ag, they may pay $15,000 an acre. But if somebody comes in and buys that property for ag purposes, they may pay $3,500 or $4,000 an acre. Well, that's a huge difference in determining other land values in that particular township. So that's the idea behind it, is to only use legitimate ag sales in the ag study.
Okay. Real quick, we're talking to State Senator Bruce Caswell with us this morning. You're also introducing a bill that would actually affect the state constitution in regards to Proposal A.
Yes. Back when Proposal A was passed, and I didn't realize it, and I don't think anybody else did either, and I've talked to some of the old-timers that were up there, legislators, the way the Constitution reads is that the school aid fund can be used for K-12 schools, higher ed, and for the retirement systems thereof. Okay, and from the time Proposal A was put in place up until 2009, the money was always used just for K-12 and for the retirement system of K-12. Then in 2009, monies were real short in the general fund, and Governor Granholm and the legislature took $200 million out of the school aid fund and gave it to the community colleges to keep them whole. And that was the first time it ever happened. Now, the first year that we got back up to Lansing, that I got back up to Lansing after you guys hired me, the new governor, Governor Snyder, proposed to give $200 million to the community colleges and $200 million to the universities for the out-of-the-school aid fund. I didn't vote for that bill, but I also got looking and thinking about what I was told, what I understood back when Proposal A was proposed, and I never remember any talk about community colleges or universities, either one. So all I'm doing is taking the words higher ed out of there. So what it will say in the future is, if this were adopted, is that the school aid fund can be used for K-12 and the retirement system thereof. And then it would not be able to be used for community colleges or universities. And I might add that since that first year with Governor Snyder, we have not used any of the money for universities since that first year. But it could be used the way it stands right now, and I think it needs to be separated.
So does this need, a two-thirds vote in both chambers to get it on the ballot?
Yep, and then it would go on the ballot and people would have to approve it.
How soon would you like it on the...
It's a tough road to hoe.
Yeah. How soon would you like it on the ballot? Would it be as early as this fall or no?
No. It would be, I think the time to put it on would be next November during the general election.
Okay. All right. We'll keep an eye and see where that one goes too. Hey, Bruce, thanks for the update. And if we don't see you before then, have a great Labor Day holiday weekend, all right?
We will do that. You do the same. And have a great week as well.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye. That is State Senator Bruce Caswell with us this morning, updating us on a number of different items out of Lansing here.